want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Well, good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am Matt Halleck. I am the author of The DNA of a Man, and I am the founder of the Man Warrior King movement. I want to thank you for joining us today on the podcast and for everybody who has been listening over these last several months and couple of years. You guys mean a lot to me. Thank you so much. And before we get jumping into our topic for today, I want to take a minute to just remind you or announce to you, if you don't know yet, that the Ranks of a Doulam is going to be launching in the next couple of weeks. And there is currently a deadline to sign up at a super low price. That deadline is going to be Wednesday, August 4th. All right. And this is very exciting, everybody. The Ranks of a Doulam in the past has been a premium priced membership for a 3-month program that started, finished 3 months. Premium price, okay? It's everywhere from $700 to $1,000 is what it was priced at. In the last couple of weeks, the Lord has been talking to me and asking me to trust him with a change. And this change is going to work out in everybody's favor. It's going to work out especially in your favor, because now this program that has been transformative in the lives of men, in helping them rebuild their marriages, reconnecting with their wives, in helping them find their confidence, discover their mission in the earth, and learn how to hear God's voice, and learn how to walk in miracles so that they don't feel like they're sitting on the sidelines anymore, but like they're actually living in the book of Acts and seeing the Holy Spirit move around them. This program is now going to be, at this, for this coming week, $50 per month. All right. If you join before August 4th, you will be able to have that $50 per month price for as long as you choose to remain. If you join after August 4th, the price is going to go up, though it will still be very accessible. But it's going to go up to somewhere around 70, 80, something like that. Okay, so I just want you to know about that. If you want more information on it, please go to manwarriorking.com/adullam. That's spelled A-D-U-L-L-A-M. And I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes for you as well. Okay, so this is incredibly exciting, gentlemen. I want you in, and more than that, I think you want in. Because our culture is missing. It's missing a group of authentic, non-religious men who are going after Jesus and learning how to be real men together. And I say non-religious because we are so locked in things of religion, and it's been powerless, and it's been draining the life out of us. and it's been hurting our marriages, our businesses, our minds. It's been hurting our health and our well-being. So I'm not interested in the same old religious do's and don'ts that we have put on ourselves in the church in order to try to live better lives. I am interested in men coming alive and getting on fire because they know intimately their King. And they've been filled with His Spirit. And there's a way of going about life up here and out here in your mind and out around you that actually models what Jesus says in John, which is that rivers of living water are literally going to flow out of you. That's what I'm after. That's what I want for my men. That's what I want for myself. So I invite you to check it out. Again, the link will be in the show notes. Now for today, gentlemen, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to rekindle your fight. This day and age is filled with so many men who are losing hope, losing their drive, losing their grit and their fight and their determination to keep pushing because so many things are going on in our individual lives and around us that are discouraging. And we have been immersed into an understanding of the faith, of Christianity, of Jesus, that has actually been powerless and it's let us down. It hasn't given us anything to work with. And so if you are feeling weak, wounded, weary, then you're in the right place. You are in the right place because the message here is for you. Now, if you remember the story of David when he was out in the wilderness, okay, before he sat on the throne, right? This is after God anoints him to be the next king through Samuel. And then after David fights and kills Goliath, and after David serves in Saul's court, playing music for him and whatnot, he goes on the run because Saul turns on him and wants to kill him. And while David is on the run and he's in hiding and he's waiting on the fulfillment of the promise of God that doesn't look like it's going to come to pass, because if God says, hey, you're going to be king, and next thing you know, you're on the run out in the wilderness with no kingdom, yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to come to pass at all. And while David is out in the cave, at the cave of Adullam, it says that about 400 or so men came to join him. It doesn't say how they knew he was there. It doesn't say whether he invited them or not. It doesn't say any of that. It just says these men came and gathered to him. And it doesn't describe them in any kind of flattering way. Just so you know. It's not impressive, this group of men that came to his side. In fact, it says that these men were bitter in soul. I wonder if that's you. Are you feeling bitter? Are you feeling disillusioned, like you thought there was more that God was offering and it has turned out to be next to nothing? Or maybe you're not quite that far and you know that it's not next to nothing, but you're still bitter because you can't figure out why you don't seem to experience the joy of your salvation. Why you don't seem to experience a victorious life. Doesn't mean everything is going to go all hunky-dory your way, but it does mean that you don't have to live defeated and down and discouraged all the time. Are you feeling bitter about that? Are you feeling bitter because things in your marriage are hurting and have not panned out the way you thought they would? Bitter about business or ministry? You thought you were going to be in ministry as some powerful minister or something, and it just never happened. Are you bitter because you're battling sickness and you can't figure out how to get it to go? So were these men. So that's the first thing. It says they were bitter. Then it says that they were in distress. Sounds like they were being pressed on all sides. Sounds like they were being under, they were under threat. There were circumstances pushing in on them, threatening to take them out. Maybe they thought that their own death at the end of their life was imminent. There were so many stressors demanding from them, they couldn't handle it anymore. And it says they were in debt. These men were not in a good shape. They were not in a good place. Maybe you are in debt. Literally, maybe you are battling debt and that is your distress. So these men who gathered to David were in this place. And I want to read to you something that I wrote a while ago. It was about these very men. Maybe it'll speak to you. Let's see here. It says this. Imagine with me for a moment. You're a husband to a beautiful wife whom you've loved for 15 years, since you were barely old enough to be called a man. You started off well, building a house for the two of you to start your family in, receiving a large land inheritance from your father that was more than enough for you to farm and make a good living. Soon she became pregnant with your first, then your second, and third and fourth, and now you have a large family who all look to you as their leader, protector, and provider. But things have gone wrong. Your father died tragically shortly after your second was born, and on top of that, a famine hit and wiped out your crop. You had to sell most of your land just to be able to buy food for your family that year. And over the 7 or 8 years since, you've never been able to recover. Suddenly, the big family doesn't look like such a good idea, and the years of discouraging poverty, in spite of your back-breaking work, which is never enough, are starting to take a massive toll on your body and your mind. It seems like no one in your home is happy, and no one is happy with you. You're trying. God knows you're trying, but it's never enough. You don't have what it takes. If your father were still alive, he'd be able to help you. If he still respected you enough, but he may not even accept you if you've become such a failure. You've taken out several loans over the years and are too deep in debt to be able to pay any of them back. Your wife is suffering in the insecurity of not knowing if you'll make it from 1 month to the next. She's distant, worn, weary, and hurting. You can't remember the last time you both laughed together, enjoyed the warm summer night together, embraced in long, passionate times together. So you've all but checked out. Maybe you drink, maybe you don't. Either way, you drown your concerns one way or another, and you've stopped facing life head on, like the man that you once were. You find yourself hoping it will all just go away. Then one day, you hear that the king is just outside of town, but he's not in some entourage or leading some army off to battle. He's in a cave alone, hiding. He has no one to support him, to serve as his subjects, no one to rule over. He, like you, is actually just trying to make it. He's trying to survive. He's not living in the destiny that everyone thought God had declared over him. Years ago, the old crazy prophet had told him that God wanted him to be the next king, and after an incredible display of kingship when he killed the giant, things haven't seemed to work out. He's been accused of treason, he's been attacked, and now he's hunted by the current king. That's funny. It sounds like his life is about as bad as yours. Sounds like he's messed up his calling just like you have. He may not be able to offer you much, but if you go out and see him, he might at least offer some understanding ears. More understanding than God has been lately. In fact, you don't even know whether God has ears or not. You've heard all the stories of how he used to show up pretty much daily. But that's all they are, stories. Your life is the reality, and in your reality, he's let you down time and again, and you aren't quite ready to admit that maybe he's not real, but you sure can't figure out why he's not answering your prayers. Because God knows you've prayed. You've prayed for abundant harvests. You've prayed for more land. You've prayed for clearing of your debts, for a happier wife, for a happier home, a happier you. But nothing changes. But maybe... maybe if you go out to meet this king, you'll find something. Doesn't really matter what it is, anything will do. So you tell your wife one evening after you've come in from the field, I'm going to go see this David. I hear he's set up a camp in the caves. I'll be heading up there on the next Sabbath. Sabbath, of course you'll wait until then. You can't afford to sacrifice a day of work. So that day comes, and you pack enough supplies for a day's hike. Food, water, clothes, and you're taking your two oldest kids with you. You might as well. They could use the change of pace. After a few hours hike out to the caves, you come to what now looks like a small encampment of, who knows, about 100 or so others, mostly men, some of them you recognize, others you've never seen before. All of them look like hell. And you wonder whether bringing your kids was a good idea. As you walk through the different campsites, you see men roasting carcasses of animals they hunted earlier that morning, others sparring with swords, spears, even pitchforks, and yet others are circled around placing bets on whose face will get slammed to the mud next. You hear men telling stories of battle, glory that you're pretty sure are only minimally true. Others are arguing with each other. Others are recounting their own sob story, all of it with healthy amounts of cussing, vulgarity, and the kind of talk that, again, you wish your kids weren't around to hear. And you can't help but come to two conclusions. One, these men look like they're here to stay. They are home. Some have even gone back to wherever they came from to bring their families back with them, though none of them look too happy about it. And who could blame them? When a woman marries a man who takes a vow to protect her and love her and provide for her, she doesn't expect him to uproot her from their home and move her and their children out to a semi-permanent campsite to follow an outlaw king. The second conclusion that you come to is this: you're not alone. And that's both good and bad. Good because it feels good to know that your sorry state is not unique to you. Maybe you're not the lone screw-up in the world. Bad because you know that these other men who are like you are not the kind of men you want your kids around, not the kind of men you want your wife around, not the kind of men you'd want to stand by you in battle should things ever come to that. In fact, the best way to describe them is a bunch of ragamuffin boys who've forgotten what it means to be men. They're scrawny, they're dirty, they're sloppy, they're disheveled. They're in distress, in debt, bitter in soul. You don't trust them and probably won't ever. But with a child under each arm, you vigilantly keep walking up the sloped, rocky terrain to what you only assume is the cave, the one where the supposed king is. There's nothing particularly noteworthy to designate it as such, but you see a small gathering of men waiting outside as if to speak with someone, and your conclusion is affirmed. You're not alone. Soon enough, you hear something alien to this place. It's nothing like the sounds of men cursing and fires crackling and swords clanging. It's not the complaining or arguing. It's this man's voice coming from the cave, but you can't tell whether he's singing, weeping, or praying. So you pull close to the mouth of the cave alongside a boulder where you prop your kids so they can hear. You want to enter, This is, after all, why you came, to talk to the man that you assume is David, but something says you shouldn't. It feels too personal, too sacred. So you wait, and the sound of his praying and singing and weeping and pouring out his honest heart to a God who now seems more real than he did an hour ago, thanks to this concert, it all causes you to break. The tough facade you've put up until now just shattered into tiny shards around your aching feet, and you slowly sink to a knee. Sobs well up from your stomach, and you're sure one of these shady men standing by is going to spot your weakness and strike you dead, like a wolf hunting the slowest caribou. You're the weak link. But no one cares. No one notices. The tears on your face are yours alone, and your children's. They see. They wonder why Daddy is crying. And you wonder, too, and you tell them you don't know. But you're tired. You're hurting, and you're not sure how much you have left in you. You don't tell them that. They hear it from your eyes. In time, probably no more than a few minutes, the sounds stop and the men around you straighten like they know something you don't. But it doesn't matter to you right now. You're not sure who the heck you even are at the moment, so thoughts of proper decorum escape you. David emerges from the stark shadow angled down by the early afternoon sun. He too has tear streaks on his cheeks. He too looks like a man undone, but there is one key difference between him and you. He clearly knows who he is. You? You're just an orphan trying to scrounge up some bread. His tears are mingled with a countenance of peace, confidence, and belonging. Yours are falling through a desert of loneliness and despair. And you wish you had what you see in him. In just this one moment, you can tell he is a king. But not just a king of a divided nation. He's a king in his very blood. It's in his DNA, which is strange. He was just a shepherd. While all of this is swirling in your head, he steps towards you, of all people. He moves not with the stiff pomp of a king, but with the normal, casual comfort of an old friend. He sees your kids on their boulder, smiling at each and patting them on the shoulder. He looks at you in your unmanly state, asking, "Why are you here?" You don't really know what to say, so you just talk. "Honestly, I don't know. My life is falling apart and has been for years now. I've tried to fix it. I've tried to provide. I've tried to love my wife. I've tried to be a good dad, but I'm just failing. It's all gone to pieces. I turned to God, but he did nothing. I turned to lenders, and now I'm in debt. I turned to my wife, but she is running on empty. I turned to myself, and I found that I too am empty. I don't know what to expect from you other than listening ears, even just for this one moment right now. I'm sorry." David takes it in, and after a second he replies, "Well, I'm glad you're here. If you decide to stay, you will be welcome. If your children and wife join us, they are welcome. I can't offer you anything. I have nothing to give other than a promise and prophecy that I will be king one day. But you can't pay your debt with that, nor can you heal your marriage." "David, why are these others here?" "Well, they're like you. They're worn out, beaten down, failures. They have nothing to offer me, and I have nothing to offer them." "Okay, so why do they stay?" David laughs. "That's easy." He pauses, considering his next words. "The cost of going back to the way things were is greater than the cost of risking hope one more time." You take this in, completely understanding the sentiment. "We can't go back to the way things were. I can only risk going forward and hoping." And before you stop them, the next words sneak their way out of your gut. "I want what you have." And now you're embarrassed, like you spilled your true inner inadequacy all over his shoes, and that embarrassment sweeps over you. But David is unshaken. He's clearly heard this before from each of these other men around. When you really want it, you'll have it. And if you know, gentlemen, the history of David and his mighty men, then you know that men like this, who came to him at the end of their resources and the end of their patience with life, the end of themselves, they became the fiercest warriors the world has ever known. They're legendary. Joshua killed 800 at a time. Benaiah killed a lion and an Egyptian giant and two Moabite heroes. Abishai killed 300 men at one time with only his spear. It's in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. You can read about these men. They were formidable warriors, but they started like this. They started like you. It's time for you to rekindle your fight. It's time for you to discover that this too is in your DNA. I'm inviting you into this journey. You may need marriage help. You may need financial help. You may need ministry help. You might need to be healed in your body. You may need all of those things. But if you restrict yourself only to focusing on fixing those problems, then you're going to be massively missing pretty much everything. Because in the middle of your pain, the answer is not to solve the problems. The answer is to come to the King. And that's what I want for you. You have to reconnect with your King. A dear brother of mine just sent me this email. Actually, a couple, and they're longer than I'm going to read you. But he was sharing a prophetic word for me, for the Man Warrior King movement, for the ranks of Adullam. But in it, he quoted Matthew chapter 11. And it's here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is the amplified version. Jesus is saying, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavily burdened. Burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. And I, Jesus, will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart." And you're going to find rest. You're going to find renewal, blessed quiet in your souls. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want to rekindle your fight? Then you have to start by coming back to the feet of Jesus. And you have to start by laying everything down that has caused you to be bitter, that has caused you to be in distress. Even your debts before him. And you say, "Well, I can't move forward with these things. I have to solve them before I can be thinking clearly, before I can function in the kingdom, before I can be of any good." And I tell you, you're wrong. You don't have to earn the right to come before the King and lay yourself down. You don't have to solve the problems. And you don't have to force him to solve them for you first. You surrender. You surrender into the mess. Surrender into the brokenness. Surrender into the pain. Surrender into the failing. And you surrender it all into him. This is what I'm inviting you into. I'm inviting you into this journey where then you can reconnect with your mission and your identity. And get back to the business of being a warrior in Jesus' kingdom. Will you join me if not literally in the ranks of Adullam, will you join me in your own life? Whether you join the ranks or not, will you do this? Now, if you do want to join the ranks, I would be honored to have you. We have a plan. We have a program. We have some training we're going through. Action steps, homework assignments, all these things. But more than that, I'm letting go of this thing. I can't bring the healing that you need. I can't solve every problem. I will not claim to be the answer, but I can give you the cave that you can come to, and I can be the man who's run this path a few steps ahead of you, and I can provide the grit and the fire and the passion that you need to spur you on. But I know as men come, and they fall at the feet of Jesus, they're going to come alive, and you're going to find healing beyond what I can bring you. You're going to learn what it means to be a man again. You're going to learn what it means to have a victory or two under your belt. You're going to learn what it means to love a woman well. Whether you join me or not, gentlemen, I love you. And I want your life to be everything that God meant it to be. I want your life to be epic and legendary like these men. And I want you to be so passionately connected and committed to your king that nothing pulls you down from that. I want your life to be moving from one glory to another. I love you. Until next time.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker. You are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.